The Cheese Shop presents The Butter Factor from the Radio Theatre in London.
The Water Board today began extensive repairs to their network of underground piping near Ipswich after burst water mains brought the town to a standstill. With a report on that story, here's Mary Marie Gifford.
Repairs to the water system began today as local people counted the cost of flood damage to their homes and businesses. On the face of it, these repairs seem innocent enough. But they're not. They are contaminating the water supply with drugs that make you shrink and grow a beard. Look out your window if you don't believe me. People are getting smaller and hairier by the hour.
Mary Marie Gifford reporting there on trouble for the people of Ipswich.
Word up, Jethro. How's tricks?
Word up, Vern. Business is very, very, very slow. Seems this village ain't ready for a fancy Mexican wine bar after all.
Dear. Well, at least you got Seth as a regular.
Arr, but he ain't never been all there since his trip to posh London.
No. Word up, Seth. How's tricks?
Ciao, Vern. Join me for a cappuccino.
No tart, you're a freak.
So, what are you going to do, Jethro?
I don't know, mate. I've tried to make it look more local. Look, I got cheese liqueur here.
Ah, Chidori.
I dipped a load of shot glasses in pickle the other week, and we had a cheese slammers evening.
How did that go down?
Very, very, very badly. Only Seth turned up, and he was on the wagon. Still, I sank a few myself, like.
Nice.
Foul.
Well, let's have a look at your menu, then.
Nice touch, writing it on a pig.
Venison chimichanger. What's that like?
Appalling.
Pheasant burrito?
Vile.
Turnip guacamole with refried peas?
The devil's own work.
That's not so clever, is it? What about these cocktails? Cider martini.
Odious.
Sex on the farm.
Worse.
Land's End iced tea.
Oh, I know that looks disgusting, but tastes disgusting.
Long, slow, comfortable tractor journey?
Rotten to the core.
I think we can have a stab at your problem here, Jethro. Everything you sell at the country cantina tastes of pig swill.
You've offended my specials board now.
I think I know why it's so quiet. You see, when I was in London...
Here we go.
When I was in London, I noticed there were lots of people, whereas in this village, it's just the three of us.
So, it's 100% turnout. Congratulations, Jethro, you're a hit.
Oh, well, this calls for a celebration. Now, I've got a bottle here. It's a sparkling wine made with meat and potatoes. You guess what it's called?
Cornish Asti.
No.
Mutton Rothschild.
No.
Pasty Spumanti.
No, there's no wordplay involved.
Oh.
It's called Seth.
Oh, thank you very much. Why is that? Has it been to London?
No. Smell it.
Oh, that's uncanny.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
Earnest recollections of Brighton Pier, Easter Sunday, 1848. I, John Adams, down on one knee, wringing hand before Eliza, my intended. Oh, such a day. The first warm sun of spring dancing on the waves, turning the countless glistening pebbles into precious stones of every hue. A rainbow of dancing light, dazzling to the eye, bewilderingly beautiful, and unfortunately terribly distracting, as it concealed the lead piping which my dear Eliza wielded with such ferocity. I was confused and down like a stone. My repeated inquiries into her well-being and proposals of marriage only seemed to incense the now frenzied Eliza. Four charming but burly ice cream vendors were needed to restrain her. But only three were needed to fill my pockets with pebbles and throw me into the sea. That was the last time that I, John Adams, had occasion to visit Brighton Pier.
And now on Radio 4,
Fellas Hour.
This is a man's world.
All right, boys. Steve Davis here. Not the Steve Davis, obviously. I'm not the snooker player. I am Steve Davis, host of Fellas Hour. And we kick this show straight off with an old favourite. It's Desert Island Birds. Okay. My guest this week is possibly the only man to have been left standing after an evening of drinking with George Best. He's landlord of George's local, Dave Phillips. All right, Dave?
All right, Steve.
Okay, now, I understand everyone calls you George. Why is that?
Yeah, that's right, Steve. There's a funny story attached to that.
Good lad.
It's because George Best sometimes drinks in my pub.
Okay, it's going to be a long show. George, tell us, what was the great man like in his heyday?
He was a diamond, Steve. Always making you laugh. Have you heard his story about when he had Miss World naked in his bedroom, champagne and winnings from the casino everywhere, and a bellboy comes in and says...
Where did it all go wrong? Yeah, we've all heard that one, mate. Let's get on with it. You know the form. You're allowed to take three ladies with you. On top of that, we've also given you Kim Basinger, Carol Vorderman and the girl from the Renault ad. Saves time. Everyone chooses them. So, George, who is the first lady you'd like to take with you?
My wife, Brenda.
Good choice, mate. She's probably listening. So, you've paid the ferryman. Who else are you taking?
Well, Steve, I always had a soft spot for the million-dollar legs, Betty Grable. So I've gone for Margaret Beckett.
Eh?
Well, she's got legs, hasn't she?
Well, yeah, but... Well, George, what about your third choice? And give this one a bit more thought, eh? Because at the moment, you can have a bleeding miserable time on your island.
I don't need to think about it, Steve. I want to take a supermodel.
That's more like it, mate.
Yeah, one of them real skinny ones with no knockers who don't eat nothing.
Are the lights too hot for you, George? I can get them turned down if you like. We can take a break if you want.
No, they're fine.
Look, George, I can understand a fella wanting to take Claudia Schiffer with him. I mean, I'm sure she don't eat much either, but she's got a bit of weight where it counts. What's with the human skeletons?
Well, I figure they don't weigh much. You might let me fill up the rest of my allowance with copies of Motorsport Monthly.
I knew you'd come good in the end, George. Yeah, not the fastest greyhound in the traps, but you can still lick your balls, and that's what's important. Finally, there's one thing that no desert island would be complete without. A motor. What car would you like to take?
Steve, I want the biggest Land Rover you can get. Four-wheel drive, power steering, bull bars on the front, and a king-size mattress in the back.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show. That's the end of Desert Island Birds. Next up, a new feature called University Challenge. That's where the show's researchers get logged up and go and fight with students. I'm Steve Davis, but I'm not the snooker player. Here we go.
This is a man's world!
Earnest Recollections of Oxford, September 1850. Oh, dear Cousin Harold's wedding. So many people I had not seen for so many years. I, John Adams, had chanced upon the announcement in the newspaper and set off immediately. Words could not express Harold's joy at my unexpected arrival. He tried, but was overcome by the occasion and what I can only assume was an overtight collar. An expectant ripple spread throughout the gathered throng. And I, too, was caught by the excitement. I was also caught, but by what I later discovered to have been an axe. Cousin Harold's years in the army surely had built him into a fine, strong man. I did not want to monopolise the groom's time on this special day, but Cousin Harold was adamant I should listen to what he had to say. I do feel it was something he had wanted to say for many years. And if it hadn't been for the deafening cheers, I believe I would have learnt something to my advantage. That was the last time I, John Adams, had occasion to visit Oxford.
Please, can Ruby sing a songwriter?
Hi, I'm Ted Ruby. You know, people often say to me, Ted, I want to write a song that encapsulates that urge to escape from the humdrum routine of daily life that so many of my contemporaries feel. So I decided to make that the subject of this week's masterclass. Get me the hell out of here. Yeah, it's a common enough feeling, all right. I mean, how many times have you been caught in a rainstorm when you really want to be in South America? Exactly, it's a daily occurrence. When it rains, I get wet. You find me a person who's never got wet. Straight away, people are queuing up to buy this record. Believe me. I forget my umbrella. My umbrella, my umbrella, my umbrella. Yeah, the backing singers do that bit, yeah. My umbrella, my umbrella, my umbrella, my umbrella. You see, that's nice, yeah. That's one of my golden rules. If it's nice, you do it twice. Oh, how I wish that I could be somewhere far away. With sun and sea in Rio de Janeiro. It's in Brazil. Never be afraid to patronize your audience. They might learn something. Or Tierra del Fuego. It's near Brazil. Or Honduras, but I've no clue as to where that is. But it sure sounds cool. Hey, does that sound like rain or what? Yeah. Yeah, all you need to do then is chuck in a few sound effects. Swoosh. That's the rainstorm. Swoosh. That's the waves crashing on the beach. Swoosh. That's the royalties piling into an illegal offshore account. Oops. Ad lib to fade. Yeah, I think I got away with it. Remember, rain plus South America and a few half-ass sound effects equals... H-I-T. None of this is true. I'm Ted Ruby. Good night.
Come in, Mr. Green. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you're having some problems at home, so fill me in. What's going on?
Well, sorry, I'm not used to talking to people about my problems.
Well, whatever your problem is, Mr. Green, I can assure you I'll have heard worse. Really, you wouldn't believe some of the things I hear. The chap in here before you, for instance, Mr. Paul, he sleeps with a stuffed pig he's had since he was a baby. I mean, not a toy one, a stuffed one.
Really?
Yes. And there was a chap in last week, Philip Lyme.
Oh, I know Phil. Yeah.
Oh, well, what you probably don't know... is that he can only achieve erection whilst locked in someone else's car. So, really...
Should you be telling me all this?
Why, are you squeamish?
Sorry, Doctor, I forgot my umbrella. There it is.
No problem, Mr. Paul. See you next week!
Sorry?
See you next week?
Yes, right. Next... Bye.
Do you think he noticed?
I do, yes.
Well, never mind. Anyway, so, what's up with you?
I'd rather not tell you now, actually.
Why, is it something really perverted?
No, no.
You don't dress up like a baby, like, name's gone. Bald fella, works in the bank down the road.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Cashier, moustache.
Are you Jarvis?
Mr. Jarvis. Jarvis.
Why are you telling me all this?
Is it rubber?
No, it is not. It's nothing like that. I'm just obsessed with my wife's sister.
Come on, that's all right. Every married person has fantasies. As long as you don't actually do anything about it, it's not a problem. I'm sure if you stop worrying about it, the fantasies will just go away.
Do you really think so?
Of course.
Well, that's a relief. You told me all those silly stories just to get me to talk about my problem, didn't you? Yeah? You're a clever man, Dr. Samler.
Thanks very much. Now, we've got about half an hour left of this week's session, so how about I show you some videos of my clients stripping under hypnosis?
I'll tell you what. How about I pay for an extra hour?
Good idea.
Sport now, and with news of a tense Merseyside derby, here's Mary Marie Gifford.
A 40,000-plus crowd at Anfield saw the best game of the season so far.
But for me, it was marred by the fact that at the city's Royal Infirmary, they are replacing real babies with clones. I've seen unknown people at night in ones and twos or in groups. But always at night, no one is safe. Some babies explode on their first birthday. It's been happening for years.
Mary Marie Gifford there. And I can tell you that game finished 3 apiece.
Bingo. Flower arranging. Antenatal classes for pregnant women accompanied by a responsible adult only, please. All this and more at the Hills End Community Centre. And tonight, there's the annual under-14s. Disco. If you're under 14, come along and dance the early evening away with Peter Pogo's Disco Roadshow. If you're 14 or over, keep well away, you're not welcome. Anyone found loitering in the car park showing off their new willy will be prosecuted.
Well, Gareth, what do you think?
Very good, Mr. Stout.
He's correct. Have one peanut.
All right, mate, I'm the DJ for tonight. Can you give us now my gear?
Do I look like a roadie?
No.
Am I wearing a T-shirt with Peter Pogo Rocks Hills End Community Centre in fiery letters?
No.
Look, are you going to give me a...
Right, answer the question. You're banned! Get out!
What?
Gareth, escort Peter Pogo and his disco roadshow from my community centre. I'll try and find another DJ at 2 seconds' notice. Boys and girls, welcome to the Miles Stout Disco Roadshow boat. Before the next song, I've been asked to wish a happy birthday to Michael over there. How old are you, Michael?
14!
Congratulations! Now get out! Okay, this next song is a slow number. Smooching is therefore permitted. On the subject of smooching, however, a couple of things. Spotlight, please, Gareth. Thank you. Now, this buck-toothed, hunchbacked, pasty-faced young girl in the middle of the floor is, believe it or not, my daughter. She's no oil painting, she's flat as a pancake, and from the number of baths she takes, I suspect there may be something wrong with her. However, she is my little princess. So, if you're a boy and she's not fussy, please ask her to dance. There's always some idiots who don't. Please do. It makes our lives easier. Secondly, and you can switch the spotlight off, Gareth, let's not spoil the mood completely. Secondly, I don't like bodily fluids. I know it's hard being pubic. I know that as I speak, small eggs are setting out along strange tubes, and oceans of microscopic tadpoles are boiling over. But I'm not running some kind of junior knocking shop here. You can kiss, you can squeeze, you can frot gently, but nothing goes in anywhere and nothing comes out of anywhere without my permission. So, a message to all you lovers out there. You're banned! Get out!
Well, half-time, Colin. What a bad-tempered match.
That's right, Brian. There's a lot of niggle going on out there. Both sides getting involved off the ball. And frankly, it's no sort of example for young players watching at home.
So, a bad-tempered first half. No sort of example for young players watching at home.
Well, that's right. It's no sort of example for young players watching at home. Too many fouls have crept in. In fact, it's been, it's been very bad-tempered.
They're getting involved off the ball, aren't they, Colin? Both sides.
Well, that's right, Brian. There's a lot of niggle going on out there. And as I say, it's no sort of example for young players watching at home.
So, a bad-tempered first half, then. Hopefully, things will improve in the second half. What are your thoughts about that second half?
Well, hopefully, things will improve, you know. Actually, I got so angry at the bad example being set during that first half that I've written a poem about it, if you'll indulge me, Brian.
Well, OK, then, briefly.
Thanks. This week, I've tried to adopt the iambic pentameter. See how you think I've got on. It's called simply, Don't Look, Children. Don't look, children. Turn thy faces away, innocent babes, for 'tis not thy destiny to follow. The frankly appalling example being set by people who are supposed to be professionals. Is this to be their grim inheritance? We pray true it fain be. And never is. I'm not actually sure about the word fain, to be honest, but it does seem to fit the form okay.
Well, Whatever you say, Colin, lovely to hear a little bit of culture on the show, regardless of whether or not it makes any sense. Coming up after the break, we've got John Barnes reading an extract from his Stream of Consciousness novella about World Cup 98. Join us after this.
Hello? I'm back.
Hello?
Have three messages. Dr. Samler here. I've been thinking about your wanting to have sex with your wife's younger sister. Why don't you take them both on a day trip to France? They've got a much more relaxed attitude towards sex, and there shouldn't be a problem. Anyway, we can discuss this at next week's session. Cheerio.
Oh, God.
I'm calling from the airport. I'm leaving you. How could you even think of it?
Oh, God.
Incidentally, if by any chance your wife picked up my last message, I could probably fit in an extra session on Tuesday. Cheerio.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to welcome back those crazy stars of Britain's favourite World War II-based sitcom from the 70s. Firstly, Mr. Norbert Bucketson.
Who's in the cockpit?
I am.
He is. Secondly, king of the platform, Mr. Dickie Whoops.
Oi, oi! Whoops!
Oh, dear. And finally, that man of a thousand voices, Mr. Bertie Bupton.
Leave it, Macmillan.
Who was that supposed to be, Bertie?
Derek Sykes.
Derek Sykes.
He was in Sykes.
Yes, obviously.
He played Sykes.
Yes, we know.
I can't do Attie Jakes.
Good. Well, the gang's all here, so it's time once again for Who's in the Cockpit?
I'm frankly astonished. He'd been up all night. Just made it home and then went down on Seven Sisters. Oh, you think he got further than that? You think he went all the way? Crikey! Oh, well, Mrs. Churchill, no doubt we'll find out where he crashed his plane eventually. Bye-bye. Who's in the cockpit?
I am. Come on in.
Oi, oi!
I say, you're in a hurry, pilot. What's the matter?
You're not going to believe this. One of the guns in the US Airman Carson's plane has proved to be too heavy for the front end, and he's gone into a nosedive.
Well, why on earth doesn't he take it up the rear?
I'm not asking him that!
For heaven's sake, Dickie. Look, if he wants to get it up, he's just got to open his flaps.
Oh, I say!
If that doesn't work, get him to squeeze his throttle.
Squeeze his
throttle! Oh, shut up, Dickie. This is a disaster. Who on earth could possibly come along now and save the Yank Carson?
It's the cracker. It's the way I tell them. Ha ha. This is Frank Carson, news at 10, Second World War. Ha ha ha.
The mystery person who can save the Yank Carson.
I've been Frank Carson. Cracking impression of Frank Carson, that. I can do Willie Carson and all. Blimey, that's a big horse. There you go.
Why don't we rig up a trampoline, Bertie?
What?
It's your line.
Hey?
No, don't worry, I'll do it.
What?
Don't be ridiculous, Dickie. Bouncing bombs is one thing, but bouncing bombers...
Oh, yeah, bouncing bombers. Yeah. Did you hear that? Bouncing bombers. That's a good one, that is. Who wants to see my pants?
Bertie, no!
That was Who's in the Cockpit, starring Norbert Bucketson, Dickie Whoops and Bertie Bupton. Join us next week when Dickie gets his helmet stuck in a Wellington.
Oi, oi!
Hi, I'm Ken Asbuster, and I sound a bit like Tony Blair.
Hi, I'm Mike Baker. I sound a bit like Bill Clinton.
And together, we're Ken and Mike.
Thank you, fans.
Well, Mike, how's it been going since your debut on the radio last week?
Pretty good, thanks, Ken.
You been recognised on the street yet?
Only when I open my mouth.
Well, that's right. But the good thing about radio is that you can get paid for this and still sign on.
The real Tony Blair would be real upset to hear you say that.
Why? Because I sound a bit like him?
No, because it's against government policy and the law.
Okay. Great. Well, who needs writers? Now, my guests this week are a couple of right old characters. So, ladies and gents, please welcome Tony Pear and Bill Frinton. Fantastic. So, Tony, hi.
All right.
Bill, hi.
How do, Ken?
I'm good, and I'm sure you at home have worked out what's going on here. We have here two people whose names are a bit like Tony Blair and Bill Clinton, but who sound nothing like them. Ask them a question, Mike. Go on, fill your boots.
Okay, so, you guys always had these names, or have you changed them to get on the radio?
I've always been Tony Pear.
Yep, same Bill Frinton all my life.
Great. Ken.
Brilliant! Well, join us next week for our slot when we'll all be back and hopefully we'll have had even more ideas for new guests as well. In the meantime, it's a big goodbye.
A big goodbye!
Give me some theme!
Just time for a quick look at tomorrow's weather, God help us, with Mary Marie Gifford.
Alice Berry from Clapham, you are in danger. Your husband is not what he appears to be. His body has been taken over by visitors from another dimension who want to conduct painful, intimate experiments on you. Your family and pets are all in on the conspiracy. Flee now and hide in the woods. Your secret fears have come true.
Mary Marie Gifford there. Scattered showers in some areas.
The Butter Factor was written and performed by The Cheese Shop, who are Gerard Foster, Dave Lamb, Gordon Sutton, Tim Verinder, Ben Ward and Richard Webb. The producer was Maria Esposito.